Amen. Amen. Anybody else need to say anything for the Lord tonight before I preach? All right, Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
I want to preach tonight on where are the 9. Well, as I read this record here of the Lord passing through, that these leper men, 10 of them, stood afar off because of their sick skin disease that was a terrible disease to have. They had to stay apart from society. They were unclean people. And if you read the book of Leviticus, it gives you the law of the leper. And this exactly tells you different things about the condition of him and the cleansing of one. But here, nobody could touch him. In fact, they were still, the Bible said, a far off. It's a picture of a sinner tonight. He's a far off. Mankind's not close to God unless he's in the family of God. Sinners are far off. And remember the Gentiles when he said, and ye who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For we didn't have a lot in it. Thank God, friend, Jesus didn't just die for one certain people. He died for the races of the world, the human race. In other words, it wasn't just the Jewish people he died for. It was, thank God, Gentile people. And thank God for that. I'm glad tonight that the Lord didn't disclude us in the number. Amen. We've got grace tonight. We've got help tonight. That God, my friend, has added his blessing to. And here these men are kindly thinking their own mind that they're thinking, well, here Jesus comes and we've heard about him. And he's our only hope. Hey God, these men no doubt come inside these villages to try no doubt to find something to eat or just to get some need that they had. But here Jesus comes back. I want to tell you tonight, the greatest need anybody has is God cleanse them. That's the greatest need anybody has is an inward need. Is the cleansing by the blood to come upon your life. And here 10 come and they cry out to him and they said, have mercy on us, Jesus, Master. Amen. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. It wasn't because the priest could heal. It was the priest would look at them and declare whether they was clean or unclean. And as they went, the Bible said that they were cleansed. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. And so acted upon what he said. As they went, they were cleansed from this dreadful disease called leprosy. And we find here the Bible said, thank God, in verse 15, and one of them. I will be that one of them. Amen. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Amen. And notice this, and with a loud noise. Thank God, glorified God. I will say tonight, friend, a lot of people don't like loud voices. But I tell you, there's a time it needs to be loud. And when we're praising Him for what He's done, thank God somebody needs to hear about it. Amen. But I tell you, He needs to hear about it tonight. There'll not be no silent witnesses. Thank God, there ought to be some hearts and some voices being exalted after God tonight for what He's done. And here this man got to praising God and shouting, amen. I'm telling you, when you live so long in that condition, and now that you've been cleansed, I'm telling you, friend, thank God, shout in your soul and make you thankful in your heart that you made whole. Thank God, you don't have to go and live that way anymore. Amen. Right, praise God. When God saved me, it was the greatest thing ever happened to me. I mean, what, nothing comparable to getting saved. Not only did He save me from sin, He saved me from hell. He saved me from the bondage I was in. Saved me from, thank God, the wrath to come. And He saves men whole. Amen. He don't halfway do it. And when God saves a man, He saves a man to the uttermost. That means He saves him completely. He just don't save him just a little bit and then tell him he's got to hold on. Amen. I tell him, I believe you can be saved one day and lost the next. Well, if I believe that, I tell you what, I'm depending on myself. Thank God to keep myself saved. I made this statement, I'll say it again. There's nobody will enter the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that helped God do it. Amen. God didn't need no help in saving me. Jesus didn't need no help in cleansing these lepers. He done it. Amen. And when He saved me, He done it. Amen. And when I get there, He done it. Amen. There won't be no boasting. There will not be no glory in man. Every bit of glory will be in God. And what God done in His grace. And God touching somebody and saving them. I tell you that this man seen. Thank God that he was whole. That he had been cured. That he was clean now. That he turned back. Thank God and shouted amen. Thank God, I tell you, we need some shouting in the church. Amen. There ought to be some shouting in the church. Amen. Men and women. Praise God. I tell you, you know, used to be they'd say they shouted her out tonight. Boy, you don't hear that no more, do you? Amen. Once in a while you hear somebody say, boy, we shouted out tonight. Amen. I said, I'm a candidate for it. God's in it. I'm with it. Amen. That's right, buddy. There ain't much shouting going on. You know what's took your shout tonight? Amen. It's Hollywood. And what's took your shout tonight is your doubts. Because you doubt God and your pride's gotten you alive and you're afraid to shout for God. Oh, well, what will they think about me? Praise God, this man didn't care what they thought. He just shouted with a loud voice and gave praise to God. This man had been under the law of leprosy. He had been a leper. Hey, God, I tell you one thing, they couldn't call him a leper no more. Amen. Amen. He wasn't a leper no more. And I tell you, when you get saved, they can't call you lost no more. They can't call you damned no more. They can't call you condemned no more. Hey, God, friend, they call you saved. Amen. Saved. Amen. Hey, God, buddy, ought to be a shouting that. Amen. I tell you, the best day of your life when God rolls the burden away and puts saving faith in your heart and gives you peace with the Holy God. Amen. That's the best day of your life. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that never have had an experience with it. Amen. Listen, this man had an experience. Salvation is an experience. A man that says he didn't have an experience, that'd be like a woman saying when she had a child that she didn't have an experience. Amen. God help, son. Amen. I was in the birthing room when my children come into the world, and that was an experience. Amen. That's right. Amen. Somebody said they got saved, didn't have no experience. Well, friend, I'm telling you what, there's an experience of the Holy Ghost convicting you. Amen. There's an experience of the Holy Ghost giving you peace through repentance. There's something in you that happens. Amen. Hey, God, friend, you telling me when God moves in you and God puts His cleansing blood to you, that is not an experience. I'm telling you, you might not have it. amen. That's right, buddy. I'm telling you, you know why people don't shout? They ain't got nothing to shout about. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know why people shout at a ball game? Because somebody done good. That's right. You go to the game, man, hit a home run, something, they'll stand up and clap and shout and everything else. I've been to them ball games before. That old guy picked that ball off, running all the way back from my team. Everybody standing up, hollering, carrying on. You know why? Because they experienced something. Amen. That's right. They saw something. Listen, we had a personal experience with God. The new birth, a personal experience of God. This man here got cleansed. He got his leprosy cleansed. He turned back with a loud voice and shouted, I believe it said glory. Amen. I tell you, we need to learn some words in the Bible. What in glory? It rolls off the tongue, good. Glory. Don't you hear me say glory?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good word right there.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's what it means. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, friend. Thank God. I tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost would fall on you in such great power. Amen. That He'd speak through you the glory of God. It'd be something I could understand too.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory. He turned back. You know why? Because he'd been cleansed. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God you think the Baptist church now is dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Somebody said, what's worse than being dead? Twice dead.
Yes.
That's worse than being dead. Twice dead. He said there's twice dead. He said he's a twofold child of hell. That's worse than being a child of hell, twofold child of hell. That means you got it double bad. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. I'm telling you, this man, thank God, he lifted up a loud voice of God and gave him praise and said glory.
Amen.
Then notice this. I want you to see this. And fell down on his face at his feet. That's a prostrate position. Listen to what I'm telling you. Worship is falling down at the feet of Christ and adoring Him.
Amen.
Amen. We don't, listen, I appreciate the piano. I appreciate the organ. I appreciate the guitar. I appreciate the choir. You don't need a bit of music to fall down worshiping. Amen. You don't even have to be in the house of God to fall down and worship Him. They didn't say they was in the house of God. They wasn't in the house of God, friend. But when that man come back and started praising God, he fell down at his feet. Amen. And I'm telling you what he did. He worshiped Him. Hey, God, because He's cleansed. Amen.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you that if we could get some people to worship and fall at His feet and mess with it, thank God, adore Him. Amen. Thank God, that's right. Amen. Notice this here. Giving Him thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks was more rare than faith. Here's what I want to see at here. And he was a Samaritan. He was a half-breed heathen. Now, I want to say this. I don't know about the other nine, what they were, but I kindly think in my mind they might have been Jews.
Yeah.
And this is what I think. I don't say it now. I'm just saying what I think. I think that probably them other nine went on and seen the priest and said, we've seen the minister now. That's going back into society.
Yeah.
While a Samaritan is a picture of the church, is at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Giving Him thanks.
Yeah.
When's the last time you gave Him thanks? When's the last time you gave Him thanks? He said in the last days, men shall be unthankful. Amen. And everything give thanks. Is that what the Scripture says? So here's a man, a Samaritan man, at the feet of our Lord. Thank God, giving Him thanks. And Jesus said, He said here, and He was a Samaritan, and Jesus answered, why this man is giving thanks? Were there not 10 cleansed? wait a minute. He is, Jesus is saying, where are the others? I don't know how much y'all can take tonight. I really don't. But I'm going to give it to you what the Lord gave me. Some of y'all's lazy. Now, you can like it or not. I mean, I love you tonight, but some of y'all's lazy. This church has been blessed of God. And this church is lazy. A lot of times there are sinners playing around the altar. You know what you're doing? You're sitting there in your pew. Where's the nine at? Where's the nine? I want to tell you where the nine's at tonight, okay? One of them's at home while this man's at his feet. One of them's at home watching television tonight while this man's at his feet. If you cut my arm off tonight, I don't think I could do much with just one arm. And I'm going to tell you what the local church has done. We've depended on one arm instead of the whole body working. And let me tell you what, you better hear me glad. Brother, there's people at home tonight that could be in the house of God. And a man comes to give thanks. This man is a heathen. I mean, an old leper, a Samaritan that the Jews had no dealings with. I'll tell you where they're at. I wrote these down. I come up with these. They home piddling. You going to let me love you tonight and tell you that some of y'all wasn't faithful to the revival? Why, God's great blessing filled the house, especially on Thursday night. And people was loving and hugging and crying and weeping and praising God. Some of you sat at home watching television, piddling around. Jesus said, where are the nine? Brother Larry said, what did you preach on today after this good revival? I said, hell. So that ain't something you'd preach after revival, but I'll tell you what, that's good you did it. I said, well, I didn't want to. You say, preacher, we just had a good meet. Well, sometimes, praise God, hey man, you gotta be alert after the meeting. I mean, after they circled Jericho and the wall fell, thank God they went to Ai and got defeated and lost 36 men. That's right. So, praise God. Truth is always good for you. I mean, it never will hurt you one bit. The truth never hurts you. Right. Where are the nine home, piddling, sleeping? I didn't know what time it was, preacher. I just took a nap. Y'all sleep past supper? I didn't eat today. I slept. Some people might be like that, but I'm telling you what, buddy, the majority's not. Where's the nine at, preacher? Cutting grass. I mean, my grass is high. Mine is too. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to miss the grace of God for the grass I got to mow. Amen, buddy. I'm telling you what, that grass will be here. Praise God, raise your blade up. You can mow it twice in a week after the meeting's over. Amen. But I'm telling you what, where's the nine at tonight? I mean, here's a man, thank God, on the altar and praising God, giving thanksgiving to God. And we got some that's... Where they at? It's always been like that. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching not because I love you. I used to preach it because it really made me mad. It really did. I mean, that was one of the things I'd always try to tell people, hey, just preach against that man. I mean, lay it out of church. But the fact of it is, I'm not mad about it tonight. You think my mama cook a good meal, my wife cook a good meal, and they said, "Hey, honey, food's on the table." And I don't show up to eat it. That ain't keeping them from eating it. Somebody said, "I won't be there." They tell me that. "I ain't going to be able to make it." I said, "Well, whatever. We ain't going to have continental breakfast here to get you to come." Amen. What's that, preacher? That's like your motels. Yeah. Get donuts and orange juice. Amen. Where's the nine at? Here's Jesus. This man's giving him thanks and he won't know where the nine at. Then can I say this tonight? Listen to me tonight. I'll tell you where they at. They in pleasure. I had a ball game. Preacher, I tell you, I'd doggone, I'd have been there, but I had ball practice. I tell you, preacher, I'd been there. Boy, them crappies has been biting down our high rock. I done told my boy, son, we done go to the fishing lake. And I tell you what, we didn't have church Friday night. That'd been a good night to do it. Fishing's a good thing if you like it. Amen. I'm just not patient enough with it. I throw the hook in the minnow out. If he ain't bit in 10 minutes, I'm going home. Or take a nap one. Right. The only one I like going is my grandpa. I love going to my grandpa. I didn't care if I caught nothing. I just liked going to him. He'd get all them old rod and reels in there and he'd mess with them, tinker with them, and he'd sign to straighten up. We'd get them caught in brush piles and everything else. And he'd say, "Give me the thing." He'd be fixing it, you know, the whole time. He didn't hardly get the fish. But it's just fun going to him. It was being with him. That's the main thing. I just don't have enough patience to sit on a riverbank all day and not catch nothing. Somebody said it's so beautiful. Well, it might be to you, but it isn't to me. I just don't get a whole lot out of that. But a lot of people, you know, it's church time, friend. If somebody needs to be here, they've got it, and give thanks to God. And where's the nine, Jesus said? Amen. Well, they really a lot. Somebody's not here because they're unorganized. I've never saw a generation of people that's not organized. Never. There's so much unorganization in homes today and parents. Come on, we got to go. Where's my shoes at?
Amen.
Do you know where the car keys are? Preacher, I tell you, I'd have been there. I couldn't find my car keys. Couldn't find the little boy. We couldn't find his shoes. What amazes me, too, the fact of it is they find them the next morning. Brother, I'm telling you what, we're so full of excuses in this day, and why are we not living for God, being faithful to God? I don't believe He believes in none of them. The seventh out of the nine said, "I'm too tired."
Yeah.
Just tired. I get tired sometimes myself, to be honest with you. Since I had this heart surgery, it's been a little rougher on me. Some days I just get tired. I guess I'm getting old too. That's some of it. My wife said one day, she said, "I never thought after this heart surgery you'd like coffee and gun smoke." I drink coffee now and watch black and white westerns. I never did before. It's a real bad sign, man. But I'm just tired. I'm just too tired. I can't hardly go. Brother Robert Cranfield's 90 years old. And we got people in here as 40s. Act like they 190. Oh, me. Y'all don't act like that at home. I know you can't. Where's the zeal, man? Praise God! Where's the enjoyment of living? I have to question myself. Do I think everybody will think like me? No, everybody's not like you. But God help, I mean, somebody could have a little bit of zeal about them. I watch how people come in church and I can tell you how the service will be. Oh, me. Boy, I tell you what, preacher, I had a rough day yesterday. I barely made it, but I'm here for you. Thank you. I know that's said. You know what I'm saying? But you're here for Jesus. What if I die while I'm preaching? Who are you going to come for next time? Amen. I'm not raising a church of people, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not raising a bunch of church people that live and die by the preacher. I don't want you to worship me. I want you to respect the position that God gave me to fulfill His will to help you. But I don't want nobody worshiping me. I don't want a high title. I don't have to be called doctor, reverend, or bishop, even though bishop is a spiritual name. Amen. Reverend's not, that's not in, he didn't say, and he gave to the church some reverends. He gave to the church some pastors and teachers. Amen. If people call me that, I'll just say, well, all right. How you, Reverend? All right. How you doing? That don't move me. That don't have nothing to do with it. But you know, people, I understand, no, we live an entire day, Wednesday night sometimes, and I understand you people get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work. Don't you think I'm getting on you? I love you too much. I'm not getting on you tonight. I'm just saying, praise God, we got to come to this thing collectively. God moving, and where's the nine at when somebody needs to be here? The eighth man, where's the nine? He's visiting friends. I thought I'd go see Ma, Aunt Susie, Uncle Fred. I thought I'd go by and check on them. You know my mother-in-law, she's 80, 89. She lives down the road from her. But I don't plan on visiting her unless she really needs me while revival's going on. You know what that is? An excuse. You know what, I love every one of you, but I'm telling you what, you need to tell God this stuff. You say, preacher, why don't people come? I can tell you, they don't want to. Why didn't I go to the Mexican restaurant today? I don't want to. Why did you? You wanted to. Why do we have to cover everything up?
Yeah.
I know there's a right way to say it. God help. You got to have some sense. Make everybody mad. We got to cover everything up.
Yeah.
I've had people say, yeah, I passed that guy on the road the other day. He said he wasn't in church. Yeah. That's the way churches are today. If you don't cover it up, and you can't hardly tell the truth no more to people. You can't tell it straight. Oh, the preacher offended me. Man, if you get offended over preaching, you know why? You're immature. Now, there's some preachers that's a bunch of lords over God's heritage, and they want to stomp on you. And they need to be out of the pulpit.
Yeah.
Any man that's up trying to hurt you and stomp on you from the pulpit, and I've done it before. I've been exempt for a while from it. Some of you might not think so, but I promise you, I'm not trying to stomp on you. I love you too much. Why would I get up and preach to you and try to hurt you? I love you too much. It bothers me sometimes even to say anything of a rebuke or a reproof. I don't really want to do it, but God told me to do it. And God said, I didn't call you to be popular nor accepted. I called you to preach. Amen. You got no time for that. I've been in this thing too long. I'm not trying to get accepted, and I'm not trying to be mean. I don't want, it's not my nature. But I tell you, a lot of people, they'll take a visiting trip when it's time to go to church.
Yeah.
Three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we meet together unless you got some hindrance to you that you can't, you don't have nothing. I know people have to work. I know people, my friend, are sick. I know that.
Yeah.
You ain't heard me say that. People's got jobs the way the country is running today. I mean, people's got different shifts and all that. I understand that. People get sick. People really are sick. Some people really are sick. But worth denying, Jesus said. It's amazing to me. Here's a man before him, and he's given thanks, and Jesus says, worth denying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the next man's at Walmart. There's people that will not come to revival. And I'm telling you the truth. That's why you can't go through Friday night. That's their Walmart night.
Yeah.
That's not everybody goes to Walmart Friday night. In fact, I went Friday night. I don't like Walmart that good. So you have to park too far out. When you got to stand in line too long. I guess you're getting the understanding that I'm impatient. I like that 10 item or less aisle line. And people ain't in it that's got more than 10 items. Yeah, I don't. Didn't y'all have? Yeah, we had to get groceries. I thought you could get them on Saturday. I didn't know they was closed. And what it is here in this church here, people's faithful. Brother Shake said that we had good attendance during the revival. Monday night was the best attendance. But Thursday night ought to be. And every night the meeting got better and better, and Thursday night it capped, and it was a great meeting. And some of you wasn't here. And there was that preacher, I just want the Lord to help me. I really want to get at His feet and bow. And I want the star, and I want the blessing of God. And I want to really worship Him. And I really want to get in there.
Yeah.
Jesus said, well, He said, where's the night? Couldn't he have looked down at that man and said, man, this is a blessing. Thank God for you coming and giving me thanks. And he did. And it's a blessing. And thank God for you. But 1 out of 10? Notice what he said here. I'm closing. Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He said, a foreigner. That's what the stranger was. He was foreign to the house of Israel. Brother Tally, I found this to be true. People that had lived a wicked life, and we all have, if you want to admit it, in the eyes of God. Every man's a sinner, and no matter who they are. But I found this to be true. People that was in corruption, wickedness, bondage to sin, when they got cleansed, they were usually the ones more in the church house giving open praise to God and thanksgiving to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
People that really people didn't think would ever be saved and ever cleansed. He says, I found one here that come back and give me thanks. I found one. You know what this message could be entitled? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Listen, can I take you on a journey tonight and I'm through? Go back in your personal life, your personal life. Go back to the day you was lost. Go back to the day you didn't know God. And then come to where you at now. And what God's done for you. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know what you'd say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go back to the time you wasn't with God.
Go back to the time God wasn't with you and see Him coming to you one day and pulling on your heart and bringing you to Him and saving your soul and giving you life eternal. You know what I say about it? I can't hardly remember when I wasn't with Him. Brother Dennis, how was you when you got saved? 19. That's 24. I'm 56. So more of my life I've lived saved than I did unsaved. But I'll tell you what, friend, can I give you this? I am as happy tonight about being saved than I ever have been. I mean, it's just more joy in my heart tonight and more thanksgiving in my heart tonight that God had mercy on me as a sinner, as a lost man, blinded to the gospel, didn't know nothing about God. All I did was live my life for pleasure, had gain, had nothing, had with rest, had God Almighty, had God had mercy on my soul, and brought me in the family, and cleansed me, and made me one of His, and I want to be on His feet tonight, amen. Jesus said, in verse number 19, He said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to say this, not everybody's thankful, Brother Danny.
That's right.
Not everybody's thankful. Not everybody's thankful. Then I'll say this, one really recognized the mercy of God. Listen to me. One said, "I could still be in that leprosy had it not been the mercy of God." Boy, I'm about to take a lap. That man said, "If it had not been the mercy of God, I'd still be a leper. I'd still be outside the camp. I'd still get up every morning with scabs and sores and leprosy that nobody wants to come near me because I'm so dirty and filthy and sinful." And he said, "God had mercy on me. I'm telling you, there's nowhere else to go but to Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, son. Amen. That's right. One of them recognizes mercy, and then I'll say this. Only one, Jesus said to him, only one of them out of the ten, Jesus said, He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He did not tell the other nine that. He only told the man that it was at his feet. Thy faith. Listen, to just hear Him give you assurance in your heart and hear His words of assurance. Buddy, I'm telling you, ain't nothing like it, son. Nothing. Worse than nine. Huh?
Yeah.
Worse than nine. Lord, help us. Get up here a minute. This young man here, coming to this church by the way of the new birth. At camp. 2 years ago, he got saved. Okay? Hey, listen. It's a miracle standing right here. It's a miracle. And if you save, it's a miracle. But you know what? He had more odds to face than we did. Has more odds. More difficult ways. Amen. God brought him in. What you saying, preacher?
Yeah.
I'm saying them strangers find a place at His feet. Them strangers find a place at His feet. Yeah. Them strangers, that's no strangers no more, find a place at His feet. Appreciate you, buddy. Amen. Where are the nine? Let's stand tonight and appreciate you hearing the Word of God.